I'm Sylvia Maria Gross.
And I'm Susan Wilson. KC Currents is KCUR's weekly magazine show. We use voices, stories, and sound to take you to neighborhoods around the region.
There's been a changing of the guard at Kansas City's African-centered schools. It's a program that was started more than two decades ago by school leaders and community members who believe that teaching children from an Afrocentric perspective would lead to greater self-esteem and academic achievement. But throughout that history and turnover at the school district, leaders of the African-centered schools have clashed with district administration over the autonomy they say they need to run the schools effectively. The district has now stepped in and appointed a new principal for the African-centered campus. But the founders of the original schools and many of the parents say they're going their own way. To find out more about the split, Susan talked to the old and new leaders of Kansas City's African-centered schools.
By 2008, the African-centered program had taken root at three district schools, and leaders say they were considering applying to become a charter school. That means the school would leave the district and become accountable directly to the state. UMKC economics professor Linwood Taid is a member of the African-Centered Education Task Force, which oversaw the schools.
We had had 19 years of fighting for African-centered education in the Kansas City, Missouri school district. Some boards were agreeable, some superintendents were agreeable, some not. So we got tired of that because it was causing educational disruption. And so we decided to become a charter school. We went to the school district and at the time asked them to sponsor our charter because we still feel we have a public education connection. They, in fact, asked us not to become a charter. They asked us to become a contract school.
A contract meant that the A schools, as they're called, would have control over their own finances, hiring, and curriculum, but still be a part of the district. It was approved by the school board in 2008. Last fall, the ACE task force took the district to court. Then in March, Superintendent Stephen Green decided to discontinue the ACE contract and resume administration of the school. He said at that time, according to the Kansas City Star, that ACE leaders had not accounted for all of their funding and had, quote, deficient academic progress. Test scores show that about 30% of ACE elementary students are proficient in math and reading. But school leaders say that almost 100% of high school students are graduating and going on to college. Linwood Taid said, it's time to move on.
At this point, we are completely fed up with the district. So we are in the process of developing a charter school. Now, that's us going forward. That doesn't deal with the inequities and injustice that has been done to us.
Now, ACE leaders won't be able to apply for a charter in time for this school year, which leaves the future of about 1,000 students up in the air. Hundreds of passionate parents have interrupted district meetings in protest. Spark Bookhart is one of them.
The thing that incenses and enrages parents the most is the way and the manner of which it was done, whereby parents were not involved, were not asked, were not considered.
Bookhart says some ACE parents will continue protesting the district and are calling for the removal of the superintendent.
As parents, we're to the point where we're saying we will not be ignored any further and make it a very, very uncomfortable environment for the school board to operate in without talking to our parents going forward.
Bookhart says he and other parents he's working with will not send their children to the African-centered school that the district is restructuring, nor any other district school.
We will collectively homeschool our children. We'll collectively do whatever it takes to ensure the educational integrity of our children until the people that we know and trust, until they can have an alternative institution to place our children in, i.e. the charter, we will not participate as implements and aids in our own educational destruction.
Some parents are opting for the district's African-centered school, which will still be K through 12. About 300 students are enrolled for the fall, still far short of the 1,000 students who attended last year. And in the midst of all the backlash, a new council of elders called Wazuri was selected. They helped choose the new principal, Joseph Williams. He's originally from KC, but has been working as a teacher and a school administrator in Georgia for the past 18 years. I sat down with Williams to find out more about his vision for the school and what led him to consider taking this job during such tumultuous times.
I think it's very important for students of African descent to really know about their culture. I think it's also important for them to understand that we did contribute to society. You know, a lot of young people, when they go through the traditional K-12 setting, they only really study African history from an African perspective once we came over to America, which is fine. I mean, we live in America. However, when you start from that starting point, you're really starting from slavery. And I think it's very important for our students to understand that come from African descent that we have contributed to society. And a lot of times that doesn't really get highlighted in their education. And I think it can help in a lot of ways. I think it can help with behavior. I think it can help with academics. And I think it can help with self-esteem overall.
So, you know, critics talk about the fact that African-centered education may be too narrowly focused. It doesn't prepare students for life in a multicultural society. It promotes an anti-white agenda. Are these fair criticisms?
I don't think so. I mean, I think, you know, if you look at it from the perspective that any history that you study is going to be from a different perspective or from a particular perspective, we're not excluding anything. We're going to study everything that happened in history. We're just going to do it from an African-centered perspective. So let's say, for example, we're talking about the Civil War. We're still going to talk about everything that happened in the Civil War, but maybe we'll focus more on how those slaves was feeling about things as it related to the Civil War versus how Abraham Lincoln felt about it, or versus how, you know, some of the Union or Confederate soldiers felt about it. It's not that we're excluding anything. It's just we're looking at it through the eyes of African or people of African descent that, you know, might have went through various points in our history.
Now, with that in mind, why do you think parents choose an African-centered education for their children?
I think self-esteem has a lot to do with it. I mean, I think a lot of people, I think about my own self, you know, I'm in my 40s, and I mean, when I look back on my own education, there's a lot of things as it relates to African history that I know, that I knew very little about, and I'm still learning even as we speak. So, I mean, you know, when you look at that from, you know, my age and at this stage in my life, you know, and I have a young son myself, I want him to be aware of his history and not look at it from the standpoint of, oh, you know, basically my history began, you know, in the 1600s when the slave ships came over here. So I think it's very important that, you know, we understand that a lot of parents look at this as an opportunity for their kids to feel good about who they are, where they came from, and what contributions their ethnic group made to this society.
Now, you walked into a very contentious situation, it goes without saying. What was that like for you?
Well, I mean, I look at it from the standpoint of, you know, when I came here for one reason. I was given the charge to start an African, or, you know, help start or restart an African-centered school. There had been a history in this community of an African-centered school. And, you know, that's how I look at it. I mean, I my focus has always been on the children and what's best for the children. And, you know, and I want to continue that. And I feel very fortunate and having, you know, Dr. Green provide me with some of the best and brightest in this country that are at the forefront of African-centered education. I just recently had the opportunity to visit several African-centered schools in Philadelphia. I've also had the opportunity to work with Dr. Asante, who is the founder of Afrocentricity in this country. I mean, and he's the author. He's written over 70 books, and I just feel so blessed and grateful to have somebody like that mentoring me through this process. So I'm very aware that, you know, this system has made a commitment to continuing African-centered education in this system. I want to continue that legacy.
So as you face some of the protests, the angry parents, was the situation like you imagined it before you came?
Let me just say this. I don't have any problem with any parent being a vigorous advocate for their children. I mean, I think that's a fundamental right that every parent should do. As a matter of fact, I'll go a step further. I think more parents should be more vigorous advocates for their children. We can agree to disagree without being disagreeable, though. I mean, I think there's always a proper form to air your grievances and what have you. So at the end of the day, I think, you know, the parents of Kansas City, are very blessed in the sense that they do have school choice, and that's not the norm in every system in this country. If they choose not to send their children to African Center Prep, then that's their right, and I would support them wholeheartedly if they choose not to do that. But I can tell you that I'm working hard along with my staff to make sure that we have a very successful start to the school year, and I can assure anyone that brings their child to their school, to our school, that we're going to treat their child like they were our children, and they will receive an African-centered education, and they will be happy with the results, because at the end of the day, our students are going to have to meet the same academic requirements that any other student would have to meet. The only difference in our school is that they will get their education from a rich cultural perspective.
To bring up a touchy subject, what about the criticism that some parents have voiced that, well, Joe Williams doesn't really have any experience in African-centered education? How do you respond to this kind of concern?
That's a really good question. I mean, I think first and foremost, parents need to understand that this is my ninth year as an administrator. Okay, I've been an administrator since 2004, 2005. That would actually be 8 years. And before that, I was an educator for almost 9 years. So this is not my first rodeo, I mean, in terms of running a school. The only difference is, obviously, is that it is from an African-centered perspective. One thing I can say is that, once again, Dr. Green, this system has made a strong commitment to bringing the best and brightest to help us through this process. It's not like, you know, I was hired in this position. I was given no support. I was not given any training. I was not given any type of, orientation to running an African-centered school, as well as ongoing support.
So how will you build relationships with some of the parents who say they want the old ACE leadership?
Well, I mean, like I said, the real question is, are they going to let their children come to the school? I mean, it's not going to be about building relationships that they don't have their children at the school. The parents that I'm going to be focused on will be the parents that have their children at the school, that believe in what we're doing, and they're going to give us an opportunity to show that we can, you know, run a very well-run school that's, you know, going to be culturally enriched, that's going to have, you know, very high academic standards, and is going to make sure that their kids get the best education they can get possible. So that's the parents that I'm focusing on. I'm focused on the parents that have enrolled their children in our school and are looking forward to, you know, continuing to have their children in an African-centered school.
You're listening to KC Currents. We're talking with Joseph Williams, the new principal for African-centered prep at the KC Mo School District. What's your unique vision for the school? What's the Joe Williams touch you hope to put on the school?
Well, I've worked in schools that have really focused on academic achievement, and I think that's one thing that might have been lost in all of this, is that there's a lot of room for improvement as far as as the academic achievement. At the end of the day, no matter what a school's theme is, you have to show that you can move the needle, if you will, for these students as far as academic achievement. And when I look at the test scores are not where they need to be. And so, you know, my focus is going to be to make sure that, in addition to providing a culturally enriched environment for our students, is that the students are successful academically. Because at the end of the day, you know, when these students are taking the ACT and the SAT, they're going to be compared against every other student in this city, state, and country, and it's important for them to be able to compete.
Well, I know previously the ACE schools had a pretty elaborate screening process and interview process for incoming students. Will that continue, or will it sort of be open enrollment to anyone who wants to come?
It's still going to be a signature school for Kansas City, and there is a process that every student would have to go through to become a part of the school. And obviously, we have to, you know, set some benchmarks as far as GPA and what have you. And that will, the students, you know, that start this year will know by the mid-year what those benchmarks are that they need to, you know, maintain to stay in the school. So, yeah, it definitely will be some selection as we move forward.
So in your first 6 months, what are the kinds of things you have in mind to really try to set the stage for achievement?
Well, I think in any school, it's very important that order and discipline are the foundation for your school. You can't run a good school, I don't care what the theme is, without order and discipline in the school. So I think it's very important to set that as an expectation right off the bat for the students to understand that there are going to be rules and regulations in the school. And, you know, we're definitely going to have some expectations for them as it relates to their behavior, how they, you know, go from class to class, what the uniform policy is, how they deal with adults, what their expectation is in the classroom. And I think once you set that as a foundation, along with, you know, the critical cultural piece, you know, as it relates to African-centered education, I think that that's a powerful combination to ensure that we have a good start to the school year and that moving forward, you know, the students will understand what the expectations will be for them in our school.
Now, the last I read, about 300 students so far plan to attend the new school, and that's significantly less than the 900 students, I guess, that were there previously. What kind of problems will this pose? Will it cause any problems, for example, in funding or operations?
Well, I mean, any school, you know, has to run based upon the number of students that you have. But, I mean, as we speak right now, we're only in June. And traditionally, historically, in signature schools like this, people a lot of times wait to make final decisions on where they're ultimately going to send their child. So I'm really not concerned about that, whether it's 300 students or whether it's 600 or 800, I mean, we're going to be ready to roll and we're going to be ready to go with the students that, you know, show up on day one, and we'll adjust the staffing needs accordingly. So we'll be fine.
Will you be consulting with the founder, who was Audrey Ballard, or are you moving forward with the national expertise primarily?
Well, I mean, you know, when I was interviewed for this position, I mean, I was asked by, you know, the people that interviewed me, would I be willing to meet with the people that, you know, were the experts in Kansas City and people that, you know, are outside of this city and state. So, I mean, I'm very open. I mean, at the end of the day, I've heard so many really good things about, they call her Mama Ballard, Queen Mother Ballard. And so, you know, at the end of the day, I would welcome that. You know, there's an old proverb that says, you know, in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. So I feel like I can learn a lot from her. She is from Kansas City. I would be more than willing to, you know, sit down and meet with her, you know, if that's something that she'd be willing to do, you know. So I'm very open to that.
Now, do you know yet how many teachers and administrators are staying from the old regime?
Well, I mean, everybody from the old regime had to apply because they were not a part of the Kansas City public school system. So we're just now getting started with the teacher hiring process. I can't really speak to ultimately how many people from the old school will be there for this upcoming year. But I do want to make something very clear. No one at any point, because this is something that has been brought to my attention on several occasions, I want to make it very clear. No one has ever told me that I could not in any way, shape, or form hire somebody from the old ACE. As a matter of fact, I will go the other way and say that, in fact, people have encouraged me to hire people from the old ACE so that there will be a more seamless transition. So I really do need to put that out there because there has been some misinformation about that.
So as you embark upon this new challenge, what do you think is important for Kansas City to know?
I think it's important for Kansas City to know that no one is going to work harder than me to make sure that this is a success.
Well, Joe Williams, thank you for being a part of KC Currents.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Joseph Williams is the new principal of the African-Centered College Preparatory Academy, which will be a K-12 school located in two buildings on the campus of the old Southeast High School.
Coming up, the dog days of summer start early in Kansas City. You're listening to KC Currents.